Lord Jesus, we worship you. We come bowed, head down, soul lifted up to your throne, in awe of your power, your presence, the magnificence of who you are. Fill us up with you, God. Fill us to the brim. Fill us to our overflowing. Let us grow in you and grow in knowledge of you. Bear fruit in everyone listening. Anyone that's listening, Lord, bear fruit in them. Let your spirit touch them and fill them, God. This is real, Lord. I pray that you would do so. Let the word bless them, Jesus Christ. In your name we praise you. Amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. And you can find these audio boos on iTunes by going to typing Michael Ryan's Boos, B-O-O-S. So Michael Ryan, R-Y-A-N apostrophe S, B-O-O-S, Boos. Let's jump right in. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 25, verses 8 through 15. Good and upright is the Lord. Amen. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. You know, I want to just say to you that when I read Psalms, I read them with Jesus Christ replacing everything. When I see Lord, I just replace it with Jesus Christ. Mike, why do you do that? I do that because Jesus Christ says in John chapter 5, verse 39, you search the scriptures thinking that you have eternal life, but it's these that testify of me. And I believe that Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. That's to be true. I believe it. He says in John 16, the Holy Spirit will testify of me. And the Holy Spirit is who wrote the Old Testament. So I believe the Holy Spirit is testifying of Jesus Christ. So I believe David's worshiping Jesus Christ right here in Psalms. So I'm going to read that verse over again. And you'll notice whenever I see Lord, I'm going to say Jesus. And for me, that's where the life comes. Because when you see Jesus in the scriptures, there's just a whole new experience to it. So let me start again. Good and upright is Jesus. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He is good and upright, friends. He is. He's good and upright. And I want you to get on this today, right now. He's good. He's upright. How do I know he's good? Well, he died for you. He fills you up with good things. He has gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, power, a sound mind, righteousness, holiness. He has all types of good gifts for you. If you would just sit down and spend time worshiping and praising him and communicating with him. He's upright. He was sinless. He didn't sin. He lived the perfect life. And we exalt him for that. And he instructs sinners in the way. And guess what? That's you and I. You know, the physicians don't go to people who are healthy. They go to people who are sick, right? And Jesus said it better than I just did, but that's the truth. And just because we become believers, that doesn't mean that we don't stop being sinners. We have a sin nature. You know, I don't know who told you that you're not a sinner, but we are sinners because of our sin nature. We're just redeemed sinners who, as we worship and see Jesus and fix our eyes in him, we sin less. But our sins no longer hold us down to the ground. They don't weigh us down. Don't let your sinful nature, don't let your sinful emotions, feelings, behavior stop you from worshiping Jesus and begging for his presence, because he will show up in you and he will bear fruit. Satan wants you to believe that you're not good enough to worship the Lord. He wants you to feel like you need to be sinless to enjoy God. But the reality is that you're not sinless. You struggle with sin. You struggle with defects. Worship the Lord, and his presence is good for that. All right? So let's keep on going. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. And he humbles us, right? He says, learn of me, for I am meek and humble. I am gentle and humble. You're learning of Jesus Christ. You'll get that spirit of humbleness. If you are putting on the yoke of Jesus Christ, as he says, and learning of him, And how do you do that practically before I continue? You worship him. You read the scriptures and you see him. You fix your eyes in him. You praise him. You talk to him. That's how you learn of him. And he gives that spirit of gentleness before you even finish your worship. You know, he just does it. And he teaches us. He teaches the humble. He leads us. All the paths of Jesus are mercy and truth, or loving kindness and truth. All the paths of Jesus are mercy and truth. You need to know that. You need to know that. Your Lord, your Master, your Jesus, he's all about mercy and truth. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the path. And he's the light to the path. He's everything. just get in on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. Let's keep worshiping him. To those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. And we want to keep the covenant of Jesus Christ. I just spoke about that in another podcast. The covenant of Jesus Christ is this: grace, 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 and grace. The covenant of Jesus Christ is the new agreement, the new covenant, the new setup is God in you, the Spirit of God in you. And the Spirit of God in you is all that matters. When the Spirit of God comes in you, he makes you alive. He justifies you. And guess what? He raises you. He's your ticket into heaven, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives you all the stuff you need on this planet to survive. Again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I don't know what your situation is, but any one of those items or all the above is gonna bless you. And you are just a devotional moment with Jesus away from being able to bear that kind of fruit, because he'll do that in you. So I encourage you, his covenant is simple. He does it. That's it. The only law we have is fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's it. That's your law. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and let him bear the fruit in you. I mean, it can't be any simpler than that. Please don't fall into making it Jesus Christ, the shell, and then it's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant of my works and my behavior and my attitude and my spiritual holiness, the rest. That's gonna lead to failure and disconnect from God. That's gonna lead to a hatred of God and a hatred of things of God, because you're gonna soon realize that God has a heavy yoke on you that you can't hold. But if you enter the yoke of Jesus, you'll do just fine. For your name's sake, Jesus Christ, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. You know, I think every one of us needs to say that every single day. We have great iniquity before the Lord. Well, I don't feel like I did a big thing before the Lord. Yeah, you did. We sin all the time. And he's pardoned it. He's pardoned it, the sins of our life. But we need to come and repent every day. That's part of our walk. Repentance and rest. That's our strength. That's our key. You know, we repent and we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. It actually mentions that in Isaiah 30, that repentance and rest will be our way. And he will pardon us. That's the good thing about it. He pardons us and then it's over. Bring your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and he pardons you and it's done. It's done. That's it. Washed away. He's good. He's so good. I just be encouraged that David here, someone who was a man after God's own heart, he's confessing, you know, great iniquity. I mean, I don't know how it happened, but I think somewhere along the line that we start feeling like we need to be sinless, or we're not. If you're a believer, you need to act like you don't struggle with sin. And it's like, I watch my fellow brothers and sisters fall by the wayside because they try to act like they've got their sin issue figured out. They try to wrestle with it and make all these rules, or they struggle with the guilt of not feeling like they can be right with God until they get their sin issue figured out. I just got a different way for you. The new covenant. Confess it, be pardoned, and continue to let Jesus Christ live and move in you. That's it. That's it. Simple. Simple as that. David knew it, and he did it, and he lived an abundant life. I think you can see that from his Psalms. Let's continue, verse 12. Who is the man who fears? Or when I see fears in the Old Testament, I substitute it for worship. Why do I do that? It really means morally reverent, but I substitute fear for worship. That's what I do. I encourage you to do the same. But the idea is that fearing is just being reverent to God, lifting Him up, praising Him. And look, who is the person who fears and worships is reverent to Jesus? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. There are a lot of people who struggle with decision making, and they feel like they're waiting for God to do something in them, or to show them a sign. And I don't know that God always does that. I don't know that He always operates that way. But if I can just suggest to you, wait on the Lord. And waiting on the Lord looks like this: worshiping Him. Worshiping Him, and He'll show you. He'll show you the way. Maybe He'll show you the way before you do it. Maybe He'll show you the way after you've done it. And maybe you were right. Maybe you were wrong. Look, if we're imperfect with our sin, why do we think we need to be imperfect with our decisions? We won't always make great decisions. It's okay. But here's the good news: if you stay in the presence of Jesus, if you stay devoted to worshiping your Jesus, your Lord, your Master, your Good Shepherd, your first and your last, your Alpha and Omega, your Prince of Peace, it won't matter. Oh, Michael, you don't understand. There's consequences for my decision. There's consequences for other people for my decision. I'm not trying to take away from that. I'm not saying don't be diligent with the decisions that you make. All I'm saying is seek the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. Believe what Jesus Christ said. You worship the Lord, and you put Him first, and that should be first place to everything else. And He will get you through. He'll produce the fruit to allow you to deal with a bad decision. He'll produce the fruit that will have you rejoice in a good decision. Either way, you want Jesus Christ and His presence abounding in you. How do you get that? Simply ask. Simply ask. Let's continue verse 13, talking about the person who fears and worships the Lord. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. Our soul, you know, we want our soul to be prosperous. Jesus speaks about in Revelation how he mentions people in Revelation when he's talking to the different churches. He mentions people who are actually poor and then tells them that they're rich. He sees people who actually look like they're rich on the outside and tells them that they're really spiritually poor. We want to be rich towards God in our souls. And how do you be rich towards God? What do you think I'm going to say? Devotion. I mean, if it's not, I mean, and it's going to say something else in here that I think is it's really going to bless you. But I don't want you to shorten or downplay the simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus Christ. If you would implement that in your day, right now, throughout the day, all day, devotion to Jesus Christ, fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ, you are going to be rich. Now, you're already rich towards God in the sense that you are alive and you're going to go to heaven if you trust it in the gospel. But if you want to live a rich, abundant life as a believer, it's got to begin, it's got to be filled with, and it has to end with devotion to Jesus Christ, worship of Jesus Christ. You will experience the best. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Your soul will be prosperous. There's a lot of prosperity teaching out there. God doesn't want you to be sick. God doesn't want you to, you know, all that nonsense. And you know what? They're talking about the physical world. God doesn't want this. God doesn't want, I mean, if you want to just put an end to that nonsense, Jesus Christ, God Himself, He was a curse. Oh, you can't be crazy. He was a curse. He was poor. He didn't have money. He suffered. So all that nonsense, let's just put it out there. He didn't own a home, okay? God wants you to own a home. All that nonsense, I mean, it's just nonsense. If someone's telling you that God wants you to be physically prosperous and physically this and physically that, they're just a bunch of lies. God wants your soul to be prosperous. God wants you to rejoice in Him and be fed and filled by His presence. That is better. And then maybe He will add those physical things. But guess what? You won't even really enjoy those physical things because you'll be too busy delighting in Jesus Christ and His presence in you. Feed off the presence of Jesus and you will go places in your walk that will blow you away. You will be limitless. Limitless. There's no limit for you if you daily make Jesus Christ your devotion. Sin won't stop you. Weaknesses won't stop you. Other people being negative won't stop you. Circumstances won't stop you. The storm won't stop you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You see, what happens in this faith is that we're excited about God so long as there's not a circumstance, so long as we don't fall in sin or struggle with something, so long as someone doesn't come and hurt us, so long as everything is sweet. But that's not abundant life. That's a shaky life. That's a life of avoidance. That's a life of just deception, because it's only good when things are good. But the abundant life is when you can go through any situation. You can be hungry or you can be filled, you can be sheltered, or you can be out in the wilderness and you are experiencing the goodness and the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the abundant life. How do you get that? By having a rich soul, a prosperous soul. How do you get that? Well, by worshiping the Lord, having a morally reverent attitude to Him. How often? All day long. All day long. Let's continue verse 14, and I love this verse, probably one of my favorite verses. The secret of Jesus is for those who worship Him, and He will make them know His covenant. Is there anything else that needs to be said? And the word secret there comes from a Greek word which really kind of gets the idea of intimacy. The intimacy, the true intimacy, the secret things that, you know, when you see someone with a glow on them, like they've got something that you want. Can I just say to you that it's this right here? It's right here in your Bible. Go to your Bible if you're not opening it right now to follow me in the podcast. Psalm 25, verse 14. This right here is where the glow is at. Worshiping Jesus Christ opens up all the intimacy and secret things. That special relationship, that special bond, that presence that not only fills you up, but other people can see from afar. That fruit that just spills out of you, just shoots out of you. It comes from focusing and worshiping and voting and seeing the Lord Jesus. Please, I beg you, go do this. I beg you. And finally, I'm finishing up here with verse 15. My eyes are continually toward Jesus, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. Whatever net you're in, the net of addiction, the net of fear, the net of grief, pain, stress, I don't know what it is. Keep your eyes continually toward the Lord. I'm not saying that you won't still struggle in those things for a season. I'm not saying that you won't still wrestle with them. But keep your eyes continually on Jesus, and He will bear the fruit that you need to make it through. I mean, problems of the flesh and of the soul are real. We live on earth. We don't live in heaven. But we can have heaven in our hearts if we look to Jesus. I'm not trying to promise you that God's going to heal all your problems. He's going to heal all these. I'm not promising you that. But I am promising you His presence. And it's not me who's promising it. He says it. For lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the ages. He says that. I mean, I just pray that you would just go read over this stuff. Read over the Psalms. See Jesus in the Psalms. This is all about worship and devotion to Jesus. You'll really be blessed if you do that. Lord, I pray that whoever's listening to this will be filled up with your spirit, God. Please, we love you. In your name, amen.